heart to the Word of God through his servant Bob today. So give him a warm Eaglemont welcome, would you? And when I saw the computer he was using, I knew it was God's direction to have him speak today.
Amen. Bless you. Bless you, Marlo. Amen. Yeah, well, I'm just getting used to this. It's because my faithful no-die PC died. And so I've converted. But I want to tell you that the joy of being here is knowing that the body of Jesus Christ is not situated in a building. There's people gathering all over Edmonton, Alberta, and they're gathering around to worship God. And I just pray this morning that we would sense his divine presence right here with us. When Marlo asked me, he said, you know, would you have a bio? And I have a difficult time with a biographical sketch of who you are. You know, what do you say? Do you be humble or are you proud? Do you go, he's a great guy, he's wonderful, or do you say, he's, you know, got a lot of struggles in life and he's a desperate man? The truth is I'm both. I'm thankful for God's grace to me. When I was a young boy, I listened to your sermon on the your internet and the discipline that your pastor got. And I could tell by listening, he was showing photos of himself. And I thought, how arrogant for a guy to actually think so much of himself to show baby pictures kind of thing and that kind of thing. Well, that was in my mind. I don't know. They sounded like you were describing pictures that you'd rather not show, and yet you were showing them. So I kind of thought, it's a paradox. I grew up in a small country area in Ontario. And as a young boy, I was in a church. And my discipline, if you look at me, you probably can't, hopefully they can't see that. I'm far enough away and I'm elevated so you can't tell. But I'm going to give you a kind of fupa. If you look at my head, you'll see that my ears are proportionally larger than the rest of my body. And that's because as a young boy, my mother used to grab my ears. I didn't get, that was my discipline. It was like, quiet! And I think, why do parents grab their children and pinch and jerk when they want them to be quiet? You know, it's like, be quiet. Ow! It's like, but that was a discipline. And I was under great conviction in a church service. My mom thought I was too young to know what was happening. I didn't understand what the man was preaching, but I felt the presence of God. I remember it very distinctly. And as I was going out of the church, in this little country church, a man stopped my mother. He knelt down beside me, looked me in the eye, and he said, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? I said, yes. And my mom thought I wanted a saving from, you know, the what. And it wasn't that. I really didn't understand it, but he took me forward. We sat in the front seat. He explained to me that we all have sinned, and I knew that. And he said that Jesus loved me, and if I would like to receive him into my life, I could. And I want to tell you who I am today. I am a result of that man stopping me. I'm a result of the work of grace of Jesus in my life. It was like I passed through this huge electronic magnet and it sucked all the iron filings of guilt and shame out of a little boy. And that was the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus went through me and pulled out of me all that yucky, gucky guilt and shame. And when I prayed and said, Jesus, come into my life, I didn't understand it then, but I know now. What happened was the resurrected spirit of Jesus Christ, the same spirit that dwelt in him, came and he saturated the atomic structure of my body. All the space between the electrons and the nucleus of every atom in my body was filled with the resurrected spirit of Jesus. And he has never left me for one millisecond. Though I've hurt him, terribly hurt him. Though I've grieved him often and failed him, he has never withdrawn from me. He has never left me. And probably that's the most important thing about who I am. I am a person who's forgiven and who's filled with the Spirit of the living God. You know something? What comes into your mind when you think about God It's the most important thing about us. And so often in North America, we get a religion God. We get a God who's like, you know, I don't know, but people have all kinds of concepts of God. And however you think of God, that is the most defining point about your life. It's not what nationality are you. It's not what is your career, what's your education. None of that is the most important thing. What's the most important thing that will determine who you are is what comes into your mind when you think about God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. What I'm going to do here this morning is not for you to kind of take notes or try to get it all down. In fact, I'm going to leave everything here with your church. So if you want this stuff, just talk to the church and say, can you print it off? Give them $10. They'll pass 10% to me. No, no. You just get it. It's free. What I'd rather you do is, rather than trying to catch it all, just absorb it. I want you to pretend you're in the country on a clear night and you're gazing up into the heavens. And you're going to scan the horizon. You're not going to remember the constellations. You're not going to remember the positions of every star. But when we're done, I want you to have such a wonder in your spirit. Who is God? So I'm going to give, as it were, like a scanned horizon of God. Just a glimpse. We're just going to get a glimpse of God. Because I felt as I prepared to come here, in order to pray, we have to know God. Now, at Eagle Mount Church, I liked your website. It says to know God is one of the most important things. It's very possible to know God. Very possible. He's a personal God who knows and wants to know you. And I love that song. He knows my name. He doesn't just know my name. He knows my thoughts. He knows everything about me. He's personal. He wants to know us. And prayer is a great way of getting to know God. Now, also, I see that you as a community have embraced that prayer is a means to intimate connection with God. That is so true. Intimacy with God. Most people in this town haven't thought one time that they could ever have an intimate relationship with the Creator of the universe. You're kidding me. This isn't for some weird mystics who are monks who are on a mountain somewhere in some little, you know, tower. No. This is for that guy working at Sobeys who's carrying out your groceries. This is for your mechanic. This is for you. God says, I don't want to be a religion. I don't want to be a world religion. I want intimacy with you. We believe that prayer is the conduit to receive supernatural enablement. Would you like to have supernatural enablement in a significant way that will remind you that you depend on God? We depend on Him. This is who you say you are. We are convinced that prayer is integral to accomplishing anything of eternal value. What else is valuable? The kind of car you drive? Hey, go and pick up yourself the latest 2010, whatever. Drive it off the lot. You just lost 10 grand. And who are you going to impress? People whose name you don't know. You're going to park it out in front of your house and people are going to go by and go, wow. You know, sometimes folks, people give their lives for the most meaningless things. Eternal value is by knowing God. Now, you talked about last week about the discipline. A quiet place, a quiet time. And I've put down a quiet heart. Communing with God is not knowing how to get Santa Claus to give you what your wish list is. That is not prayer. It's not the purpose of prayer. It's intimacy with God. It's intimacy with God. But how can you love a God that you don't know? It's like having an electronic, I don't know, whatever they call that. What do you call dating on the internet? I don't know. There's websites, you know, you look at a picture and get the stat. Okay, I think I'll try them. This is not knowing God electronically. This is not knowing God synthetically or virtually. This is getting to know God. How did Jesus do it? Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went. He left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, it wasn't 40 below. I would challenge you, you don't have to go outside. Remember, we're very close to the Arctic Circle. It's better to concentrate on Christ than to be outside. Solitary place is meaning a place where you're alone. I'm going to tell you, I think this church is great. Churches are great, but you're not going to get to know God here. Sorry. You're not going to get to know God here. You're going to get to know people who are seeking God and have a great friendship, but you don't get to know God by listening to somebody talk for a few minutes and singing some songs and having a coffee and go. You don't get to know God that way. You get to know the people who are looking for God and love God. This is my prayer for you. I pray, Lord, this morning in this room, you will grant the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You're here, Lord. You're here. You said whenever we gather in your name, you're in our midst. You're not only living in us, we're not only in you, but you're right in this room. Jesus Christ, you are here. And how can we get to know you except you show yourself to us? We can't know you by thinking. We can't know you by feeling, Lord, only you can show yourself to us. God, please, for everyone who's seeking you, let them find you by your revelation this morning. Let us glance at you, just a glimpse, Lord. Let us see you. Show yourself to us so that when we pray, we might love the one who we know. Show us yourself. Show us yourself. I want to talk about something called the attributes of God. Now, an attribute of God isn't a characteristic of God. It's not something that he has. It's who God is. God is his attributes. And so it's kind of a theological term, attributes. And the fact is that there's all kinds of argument about who God is. In fact, a man named Tozer said, almost every heresy that has ever afflicted the church has arisen from believing about God things that are not true. Every heresy, they're like, you know, I had a guy come in, you know, the chapel is not a church, it's a mission. Let me tell you, it's a mission. When you're teaching in the middle of a sermon and you say, you know, we need to forgive one another, and a lady jumps up and goes, don't do it! Don't do it! You're going, huh? You know, she's just not going to church regularly. She probably's never been to church. She's in the chapel. Don't do it! Don't let people... You don't forgive people, I'll tell you, you don't. I said, well, let me kind of finish and let's see where this goes. Keeps it lively. Her concept of God was a God who keeps track, and you better keep track of who hurts you because God's keeping track of what you're doing. And the God we know, it's not this God of some legal tradition. On the other hand, if you emphasize one part of God and exclude the other part of God, that, folks, becomes error. So did you say, God is love? He is eternal, unconditional love. Oh, just fall into the everlasting arms of God's eternal love. No matter what you do, what you say, it's all right in the end. We're all going there, you know. God is holy. He's just. And there's only one way to him. It's through Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, that's not very pluralistic, is it? Nor is it politically correct. But there is absolutely no other way to have fellowship with God except through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There's no other way. Why? Because he's God. And he is not interested in democracy. And he's not pluralistic. Yeah, so you can either go with man or God. I'm going with God, so I am not pluralistic at all. Mm-mm, not me. Whoop. Nope, no pluralism in me. I'm a Jesus boy. It's the only way you get to know God. I hope you like that. Because if you don't, it doesn't make any difference. He is triune. What does that mean? Well, Jesus was baptized, and as he was praying, the heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended on him bodily like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Some people think Jesus Christ is a really awesome prophet. Like who else turns water into wine, food multiplies, raises the dead? Like, it's historically a fact, and you know, he was one powerful prophet. Now, he's a false prophet because he said he's the Son of God. Oh, he didn't actually say it. Oh, come on. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ is God. Did you hear me? Because when you walk out these doors, that's the message we carry. Jesus Christ is God. The Holy Spirit is God. One God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I got to keep going, but I want you to know, this God that we're talking about, when you say, "Jesus, come into my heart," you're not getting a little deek of God. You're getting, when Jesus Christ comes in you, you have God in you. You have the creator of the universe living inside your body. When you pray and the Holy Spirit speaks to you, that's God. Now, you know what's interesting? I was sharing Jesus with somebody, and I was telling them they had to be born again, and I happen to have a minister at the table with me. And the minister trying to help me said, "You know, Bob, born again is only used once in the Bible." He was trying to help me be relevant. I think that's what his intent was. I said, "Oh, yeah, it's only used once." Yeah, it happens to be red letters. It happens to be God said, "You must be born again." Sorry. Maybe we can just kind of, I don't mean to get, but it's God who said you must be born again. Why? Because Jesus is God. And if you don't have God in you, you're not going to heaven. Really? Can I have my tithing back? Sure, take it back, because that ain't going to help you. If you're not born again, folks, I want to tell you, you're not going to spend eternity with God, and anything you're experiencing here is only a mirage. There are spiritualists today who sit in churches and get fuzzy feelings and see angels. I don't care if you see a million angels here right now. I don't care if Gary whispered in your ear. If you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. Because Jesus is God. He is also unchangeable. He said, "I am the Lord and I do not change." Well, could we get an update? Like, it's 2010. I'm me. You can't just read the Bible and expect people just to take it for what it says. I am God and I don't change. He also says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Whoa. Pay attention, folks. Who does not change like the shifting sands. I want to tell you, the gospel is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. It is very, very relevant, my friend. trying to water it down and sell it cheap, because it isn't cheap. It's very expensive, and only a few people buy it. Most people turn it away. When you have the unchangeable God in you, man, the whole world can be going. It might not be an earthquake, but your job could be on the line tomorrow morning. I mean, things could shift around on you so fast. What happens if you go into the doctors and go, I go, oh, sore in my throat. And he goes, oh, sorry, you know what that is? The big C. No! No! Life can change like that. Aren't you glad to have the God inside you? It doesn't change. It doesn't matter what happens in my life. It doesn't. God doesn't change. It's kind of good, you know, to have that inside you. It's wonderful. I'm going to keep going. He is sovereign. That means he has absolute authority. He's self-existent. Means he was not created. And he needs nothing. I'm just going to go through these. No, he's sovereign. Absolute authority. Hey, would you join me and read this out loud? Read this with me just so you're participating. You know, I realize here you got padded seats. Those are the most padded seats I've sat in a long time. And then you counter that. People are drifting off, so you give them coffee so they stay awake for the guy preaching. So you're fighting yourself. Padded seats and then coffee. I don't get it. But anyways, way to keep you with me is I want you not just to read this like, yours, O Lord, is the greatness. I want you to read it. Yours, O Lord. Okay? Together. Ready? Yours, O Lord. Oh, sorry. Everybody. Ready? Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Now, you're good people. You're wonderful people, and I'm so glad you're all here. But I need you to all declare this. I'll tell you why. It's not for you to hear it. I want to send shockwaves into the atmosphere around here. I want us to read that. I want everyone. I want you, please participate. Because I'm praying right now that the presence of God that's in this room is literally going to just go. And we're going to declare this over this community. Are you ready? Who is God? Yours, O Lord, is the greatness.
And the power, and the glory, and the majesty.
Come on. Yeah. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. Do you believe that? Amen, 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 amen. Guess what? This earth does not belong to the human race. We're never going to keep this thing green. God says, I'm going to burn it up. There's nothing we can do about it. Why? Because it's his. He is sovereign, and he is going to do as he wills. God is sovereign. Many are the plans of a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose prevails. I have a lot of plans. I have got so many ideas. I've got ideas about my ideas before I even start my idea. Many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's God's will that prevails. How is that? Well, our free will is like we can go anywhere we want on the ship. But I want to tell you something. That ship is the sovereignty of God, and it's going to move undisturbed, unhindered, towards the fulfillment of those eternal purposes which God's purposed in Christ before the world began. You can all go to the right side of the ship and the left side of the ship, but it ain't going to change where that ship's going. God's will is going to happen. We have many plans, but it's not going to alter what God is doing. But I want to tell you, he said, I've given you freedom. Whosoever will may come. He didn't say, you, and you. I'm picking you. You're going to be with me. The rest of you are gone. No. But he knows those who will respond to his love. And he says, for those who respond to my love, I want you to be like my son. Self-existence. What is self-existence? God can only be compared to what he's not. Everything has been created from nothing except God. You know, I don't care how smart you are. When you come down to it, you say, well, It started with a bang. Okay. Who made the bang? Well, it was there kind of before. My God is self-existence. He has always been. He always will be. And there is nobody in this world who will ever comprehend the fact that he is self-existent, because we've got nothing to compare that to. For by him everything was created. Things in heaven, things on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, powers. I want to tell you something. I respect our prime minister. I'm not conservative, liberal, whatever. But I want to tell you something. Guess who put him in power? We did. No, you didn't. God did. Guess who's going to take him out of power? God. Oh, now? Do you think it's going to happen now? Listen, folks. God sets up and takes down kingdoms. We think we do things? No, we're just fulfilling what God ordains is going to happen. A nation that turns from righteousness becomes a reproach. I want to tell you something. Many of the disasters we see in the world today, over and over and over, and I'm not talking just about Haiti. I want to tell you something. God is over all. He is sovereign. He is self-sufficient. God doesn't have any needs. You know, I used to think there must be a poster somewhere like Uncle Sam, and it's Jesus, and he's got his finger pointed out. Jesus needs you. I kind of felt that, like growing up in a Pentecostal church background, like when a guy already preached, and they'd go for like people coming forward, eh? That was the big thing. If people came forward, it was a good meeting. So what happened? The guy go, okay, how many of you want to do this? And nobody would respond. Be like, anybody here want to be a Christian? Okay, how many of you know that people are dying and going to hell? And Jesus needs you. He needs you. If it isn't for you, who's going to do it? Now, are you going to do it? Stand to your feet and run to the front. God needs me. No, he doesn't. He doesn't? You're free to go. I'm free to go. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. Well, I thought God needed me. No, he doesn't need you. Does that let us all off the hook? God did not create to fulfill a need within himself. He is totally complete within himself. He has no necessary outside of himself. You see, as the earth revolves around the sun, we revolve around God. Hey, does the sun need the earth to keep going? No. But you know what? The earth needs the sun. Folks, right now, if there was no sun, we'd all be gone through the ceiling. Do you know how fast we're moving? We're spinning. You think we're staying still? Uh-uh. This thing is going. But not only that, it's going around the sun. If there's no sun, folks, we're gone. The sun doesn't need us. It's the center. We're orbiting. Folks, God's the center. He doesn't need us. Well, doesn't he need our worship? You know, I mean, doesn't he seeking for worshipers? Not because he needs them. God is the center of worship. And we're created to glorify him. Do you see the difference? He doesn't need us. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Oh, would you say this one with me? Let's read this one together. Okay, together. Declaring it into the atmosphere. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. He didn't make us because he needed us. He made us for his pleasure. You're made for God's pleasure. God just wants you. He likes you. I enjoy you so much. I just really enjoy you. You're my pleasure. You see, he doesn't need us. We're his pleasure. Well, not only that, he is transcendent. He's beyond knowledge. He is infinite. That means he's beyond space. And he is eternal. That means he's beyond time. Beyond knowledge, transcendent. Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Remember, we're just going to scan here. We've got to keep going. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Huh. Oh, I'd love to stand. We've got to keep going. But intellect can't grasp his transcendence. Einstein can't get a formula on this one. He couldn't have if he tried. Transcendence can only be revealed. A child can understand the transcendence of God when they go, wow, God, awesome. I was trying to prepare a message the other day, and I'm in my office kind of going away, and I'm just kind of sitting there waiting, and my little granddaughter comes in. Message comes in, she says, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm trying to prepare a message, but she saw me just sitting there. You know, like, I wasn't doing anything. I was just kind of like, you know, she interrupted a very intimate moment. And I'm like going, oh. And I'm really trying to focus. I said, well, I'm just trying to hear what God wants me to tell them, honey. She says, well, you can just tell them that Jesus loves them. And then she turns around and walks out. I went, yeah. The transcendence of God is revealed. A child can understand it. Infinite. Extending infinitely beyond, without boundaries, greater than any value. Great is our God and mighty in his power. His understanding has no limit. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. I love this one. If you want, I hope you don't think I'm elementary here, but would you declare this with me about God? He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and is to come, the Almighty. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. I know these they're not words that you're using every day when you're talking to your kids, but they're the only words that could come up with kind of put it in a word what we talk about here. He's omnipresent. He exists, he abides, and he will show himself. He has unlimited power, and he has infinite knowledge. Omnipresent. There's no place, any time, where God does not exist. You cannot run from him. Every time you run, you keep bumping into him, because when you get there, he's there waiting for you. People go to the moon. One small step for man, one giant step for mankind. And God goes, baby steps, baby steps, baby steps. Hello? Little rover on Mars. Take a picture. God goes, hello? I was here first. There's nowhere you can go. Oh, let's go deep. Ooh, getting warm. Getting hot. Ooh, really hot. Ow, 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 ow. If I make my bed in hell, you're there? Mm-hmm. I conquered this place. You stepped on his head. Sorry, you're too late. I'm already here. I destroyed this place. I made it for the devil and his angels. And I took the keys of death and hell. I'm everywhere. Omnipotent. He has unlimited power and influence. Unlimited. Unlimited. He's omniscient. He possesses infinite, complete knowledge and perfect wisdom. Three forms of God's presence. Are you ready? We've got to roll. He's existing. He's abiding. And he shows himself. Let me look at them real quick. First of all, you have to believe he's existing. Faith in God's universal existence and presence is essential to experiencing intimacy with God. Why? Because you must believe that he exists in order for you to understand he rewards those who earnestly seek him. He's not the big guy upstairs. I don't agree with AA. He's not God as you know him to be or think of him to be. Because that's not God. Because what do you think God is you? Well, then, sorry, wrong. God is not who you think he is. God is who he says he is. And without faith in God's existence, you'll never know his abiding. What's his abiding? In John 1, he says, I'm going to give you another comforter. The Holy Spirit, he's going to abide with you, and he will where? Where's he going to be? Where's he going to be? Oh, you know what? We really need to get down to Kansas. Yeah, because he's there. No, go to Redding. He's over there. Oh, yeah, he's in Redding, man. He's in Redding. No, Kansas. Hey, you know what? I heard that he's over in... Come on, save the ticket. He abides inside me. Can I get more of God by going to Jerusalem? If I went into the upper room and went, this is the room. Oh, is it really? Yeah, $10. Okay, I'm in. Woo! Ah! I'm in Jerusalem. I'm walking where Jesus walked. What in the world? What do you think, he's dead? What do you think? He's got a tomb? Go touch the stone? Come on! He's alive, and he's abiding in me. And you want to get close to Jesus? Step right up. Look in my eyes. Because there's more Jesus in me than in that tomb, let me tell you. I am the new Jerusalem. I am the holy city. I have God living in me, and you have God living in you. I'm not always conscious of his abiding, but I tell you, he's always there. There's sometimes I've had times in my life I go, God, where are you? I need you now. And it's like a little kid, you know. Mother's got them in the arms. They're going, ah, ah, ah. And they didn't realize, oh, you're here. I'm right here. It's okay, honey. It's okay. And finally, they open their eyes and go, oh. We're not always conscious of his presence, but that doesn't mean he's left us. So even when you don't feel he's there, know he's there. The devil's after me. Really? You got a big head. You think you're so important, he's going to leave everything else just to follow you around? He's a created being. He can only be in one place at one time. He ain't got time for you. You're not that important. But I have Jesus Christ in me all the time. All the time. He abides. You know what? For those who he abides, there's times when he will show himself. Sometimes it'll be a scripture will come to you in the middle of the night. Oh, I had a verse come to me. No, that was God came to you and he spoke to you and he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You're my girl. What was that? Manifest presence of God. You don't have to be in a meeting at the front with your hands up. You can be in the car driving down the road and whoo, you feel him. Yeah, he manifests himself. He's omnipotent. Oh, Revelation 19:8. I'm sorry, folks. Can we read this one, too? I'll try to stop with this one, but read it with me. And let's declare it. Let's declare it into the atmosphere. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that word is used 56 times, and every time it says almighty, but I will tell you, it only refers to God because there's nobody else that's omnipotent. He spoke, and the world came into existence. He didn't work, folks. He didn't go, pump it up. Okay. I got to get ready because I got to make a bang. It's really good. Okay, ready. Okay. Ready. Let there be light. No, he went, let there be light. Boom. His omnipotence is manifest through his word. When he speaks, it's power. Omniscience, who has understood the mind of the Lord and instructed him or counseled him. Who did the Lord consult to enlighten him or teach him the right way? Who has taught knowledge or shown him the path of understanding? Great is our God and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. And even the very hairs of your head that you mentioned are numbered. I think of that, folks. 6 billion people try to remember their names, but then get a hold of how many hairs are on every one of their heads at the same time and don't lose count. You think that's something? He doesn't just know where the stars are. He names every single star, and there's more stars than there is hairs on people's heads. And he calls them by name. He doesn't call them by numbers. We get galaxies. Galaxy number X. God goes, hey, come on. It's not a number. It's a name. Don't insult my stars. Just because you haven't got a big enough vocabulary and big enough brain, don't call them numbers. They've got names. And I know them, and I call them by name. You want to know God in prayer? His omnipotence is his word. God's word speaks, I'll tell you, he is able to do anything his word says. Do you believe Jesus Christ can raise the dead? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Oh, yes, he can. Do you believe in the sovereignty of God? Do you have reverence for God's will first? Could the worship team come back, please? Trust in God for his wisdom. You know what I've found? I've struggled with his omniscience more than anything else. Because most times when I pray and it doesn't happen, I don't understand. I'm just telling you. I've had too many times in my life when I have prayed fervently with faith and I didn't see the miracle. I'm just being honest with you. I just got called to the hospital, a very close friend of mine. He's been praying for me for years. Had a tummy ache. That was last Monday. They removed a mass from her abdomen, and the spots are on her liver and on her lungs. It was hard to go in that hospital going, it's okay, sister. We got you covered. I'm just being honest with you. I don't understand the omniscience of God, but I know this. You know what? He sees my life now and eternity in the single frame, one glance, and he sees my suffering right now, and he sees the glory. Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the suffering of the cross. Why? Because God could see the cross, and he could see you and me in one single frame, and he said, it's worth it. It's worth it. I don't care what you've gone through, what prayer hasn't been answered. Doesn't matter how you feel God has failed you. It's just understand this. We don't understand the omniscience of God. It doesn't make sense to us. But I want to tell you, he's God. Knowing God. Knowing God. You know the Father through prayer. You know Jesus through the Word. And you need the Holy Spirit by seeking him. If you just pray and don't have the word, you're not going to get the whole picture. If you just read the Bible and don't use the Holy Spirit as your guide, you won't get it. But those who wait on the Lord, those who discipline themselves to get time alone with God, he knows you. I want to pray in just a moment, but I'd like the band to play He Knows You, but not to sing it. Just play it. And I want you to just take a few moments. Let this be a moment where you let this God that we've been talking about, would you let him, are you afraid to let him come real close to you? Because this is who he is. He's not a figment of our imagination. He's not a religious icon. He's here. Let him speak to you right now. please bring your burden to me. Don't carry it anymore. Please give your burden to me. Cast it on me. Bring your burden to me, please. I want to carry it. Will you let me carry that burden, please? I can handle it. I can carry it. My friendship with you. I really do. Don't be afraid of me. I know everything about you, but I still love you. Bring all of your failures. Bring all the ways that you hurt me. I already know about it. I'm not counting your sins against you anymore. Come on and be reconciled to me. We've been apart too long. You're following at a distance. I have so much more that I have for you. You're busy and you're weary. Come to me, those of you that are weary in your busyness. Find rest. Find rest for your soul. I want to give you emotional rest. You're strung out like a string on an instrument. I didn't make you to live that way. Come to me. Come to me and let me take that stress. Let me take it. My peace I give to you. Not like the world gives. I'll give you perfect peace if your mind will stay on me. Fix your mind on me. And I will give you peace. Father, this morning, whisper. Whisper to the hearts of everyone here. And let them know that prayer is the way the Father reveals his heart to us. So, Lord, let us come into a new realm, a new place of closeness with you.
He knows my name.
Thank you so much for your willingness to just share. Don't I just love the way you just sing. God, I believe in these moments is still doing a work in people's lives. Maybe some of you need to be born again. You need to let the life of God come in and raise you. Raise you to give you new life. And that's something you can do as you sit and say, God, I need you. You love me. I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Make me your child. Because of what you did on the cross, make me your child for all eternity. That can happen in a moment, friend. Some of you might want to just linger in God's presence this morning. And we're just going to sing this chorus a few times through without any further formal dismissal. You might want to take a step forward away from distraction and come and stand or sit down or walk around up here. And if you want prayer, we'll be available to just pray with you and for you this morning. So God bless you. Do not forget what you've heard this morning. There's some of what has been said has raised questions. You owe it to yourself to dive in deeper, to find answers. Some of what has been said is something that has deposited great peace in your heart. Don't let Satan snatch that away as you leave here today. Continue to pray through this word that we've heard this morning. It'll be online. You can listen to it again. And don't rush away from what God might want to continue to do in these moments. God bless you. You have to go. You're dismissed.
And here's me.